Most people say they want change, but they don't want to let go. They want new relationships, new money, new opportunities, while holding on to old habits, old mindsets, old versions of themselves. Today we're talking about letting go and why overthinking is a silent killer of your breakthrough. Welcome back to a brand new episode of Sito Lebontata Ramperi. If you guys don't know, this is season 5 and we're in the breakthrough season. And this is Q1, and Q1 is all about awareness.
Yeah.
On Monday, Ruby and I were planning this episode. Lebo was on leave.
Yeah, it was my girlfriend's birthday.
Yeah.
That's why.
I wish I could take leave on my girlfriend's birthday.
Yeah.
And we were discussing who we want to have on the podcast, and Newa was a quick boom. I'll explain who Newa is in a moment. And the reason why Newa made so much sense is because of the subject matter, right? And it's all about letting go and being adaptable. And I think you can only achieve your breakthrough when you're aware of who you are, aware of what's good for you, what's bad for you. And Newa was one of my longest friends, like, in my life, I can say now, actually, because it's tough. It's one of my longest friends. And I've seen her just achieve the craziest of things. Yeah. And in those achievements, they didn't come just by work ethic. They also came from her having to let go of many things. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay. We saw you let go of, and we'll unpack it, but it's like friendship, let go of work opportunities, let go of studying opportunities, let go of money, let go of environments, letting go of like family even, to grow. And I want us to really just speak about the sacrifices needed to let go and the things that hold us back from letting go. A lot of the time, we don't even understand that we're holding on to these things. So before we get into the conversation and we introduce our lovely guest, I want to have like a quick icebreaker. This is actually going to replace our how are you section. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. I'll just say it in my mind.
So a question to our lovely guest is, what's something you're personally struggling to release right now?
Yeah. You're one, two, three.
Release them.
What's something I'm struggling to release? Sure.
Such a difficult question, bro.
Such a difficult question. Yeah.
It's like, do you say a habit?
Do you say an addiction? Do I get personal? Do I call someone by their name? I think something that I'm struggling to release is the idea of where I would have been by now that I was attached to for like my entire 20s.
Yeah.
I think I spent like my entire early 20s thinking that like, This is the life. Hold on tight. Like it has to happen now, you know. And now I just turned 25.
Happy birthday, Beyonce!
Yeah, I just turned 25, and I was literally saying to my mom how it feels like my life just started.
Mm. Wow!
Like, which is insane because
thank God you're still young and beautiful.
My early 20s was a lot of. I just put myself under a lot of pressure, which I'm grateful I did, because it did give me the opportunity to sort of like be delusional with where I need to be. And right now I'm getting there, but I'm starting to let go of the fact that I thought I'd a private jet when I mention it, when I, you know, next door living to the Kardashians, you know, I'm realizing like, oh, that's not really the case. And also, that doesn't have to be the case now. Like, feeling like my life just started is helping me realize, like, I don't have to slow down. I just have to change the vision. Like, I just have to change the goal. Yeah.
Yeah, you being 25 is crazy. I think I met you when you were 17.
18.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah. We met in 2017.
Yes.
Or 2018.
No, 2019.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I've got a question for you, Lebo. That's a tough one to digest. I think everyone at home probably feels like that.
Yeah.
Especially in your mid-20s because we're like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Like, where's my BMW?
Yeah.
Where's my double story?
But also, I don't like people. I feel like a lot of the times people think like this means letting go of your dreams or this means like, I haven't achieved what I thought I wanted to achieve.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like when you spend so long focused on the house and the mansion, you don't realize that next to you, you have your dream car. Next to you, you have your dream relationship. Behind you, you have your dream job. Yeah. It's more so to say you've achieved more than you thought you would. You were just focusing on the wrong thing because you told yourself that that's the main focus kind of situation. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like in those situations, gratitude is the most important
right?
thing. Right. Yeah. Because then you practice happiness. I feel like gratitude, I always say this, is practicing happiness.
Yeah. Mm.
And if you can practice like, okay, cool, I still have the aspirations to have that house next to Kim Kardashian.
Mm.
But like right now, I'm an actress and I wanted to be an actress.
Yeah.
Now what a better. Right now, I wanted to get this qualification. Got the qualification.
Even if you're eating wheat bigs in January, yeah. guys, just practice.
Just practice.
Practice to be Hallelujah. Happy with your wheat bigs.
I like what you're saying because it's like you redesigning it. It's like you know now you're living for the goal.
Yes.
It's no longer a pressure for the goal to happen. It's just like I'm living for the goal.
Yeah.
So I got a question for you, Mr. Rampedi.
Yeah.
Where are you overthinking in your life?
Where am I overthinking in my life? I think it's the goals. I think that's like the number one thing. I think.
Yeah, because you're in your late 20s now.
Yeah, I'm in my late 20s. I'm 27.
You're barely 20.
I'm in my early 30s.
I'm in my late 20s. I thought I was going to be at a certain point by now. I thought that my career was going to be at a certain point by now. But what I like is that like nothing is written in stone. Only God knows.
Literally.
Only God knows. Tomorrow I might win the lotto. You know what I mean? We don't know. We don't know what can happen. But yeah, that's something. That's the thing answer,
Okay, cool. So I think one thing that's really important to do
what
is
about
to,
you, Tato?
I'm the host of this episode.
What about you, Tato?
I'm the host. So I want us to define these things, right? Because we're unpacking overthinking. And overthinking is trying to control uncertainty instead of trusting yourself. This is where most people live in, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another definition here, and it is gone.
What does that even mean? Sorry, what does that even mean?
Here's the other one.
Trusting yourself. No, trusting in yourself.
I think it's faith, what does that right? mean? So overthinking is like, I mean, I'll give you a great example. It's like you going into a car and driving to Limpopo.
Yeah.
I'm going to be worried about your safety. I'm going to overthink the whole situation. I'm going to like be scared.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, I should actually be trusting in you or trusting in my ability to have taught you how to drive.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? And then also trust in God that you will be safe.
Yeah.
So a lot of us sit in that space where we're questioning if we're capable, if this thing is possible. Do you get what I'm saying? Instead of trusting yourself. And when I was writing this, I was like, faith is such an important thing to tie to this.
Yeah. I think for me, trusting yourself, I always say this thing of like respect this version of yourself enough to know that they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like that's what helps you not have regrets. Yeah. Is like anytime I'm even like, why did I, when I saw Sipo, what did I even think was going to be happening? But it's like respecting the version of yourself that had to make that decision enough to know that they knew what they were doing.
That's so
Do
powerful.
You know what I mean?
And I missed you. Dog. I think
that's very powerful.
You'd be such an amazing third addition to Sipo. If we wanted like a third guest.
It'll still be with that.
That
I'm
is so powerful. But that statement is so powerful. It's like, let me have enough respect for the person that I am that I've built up to this point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And even when you are older and you're like, yo, when I was young, I did some crazy things. But it's like, at the time, you've never, like, God has never made you incapable to think. God has always given you discernment from birth. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like knowing that although you made mistakes, because they look like mistakes because you know better now, that version of yourself, respect them enough. Always have respect for yourself. That's how you'll trust yourself.
Sure. Powerful. The other definition was letting go.
Yeah.
Those are the two themes that are going to be rotating this conversation. And letting go is releasing the attachment, in context to this conversation, releasing the attachment to people, outcomes, as Neil also actually spoke about, old identities, timelines, and comfort zones. So, yeah. I need to define those things. I'm excited to speak about those things. You guys are escaping the question.
Sorry, teacher.
So, questions. And I'll participate in this question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why do you guys think that people or humans hold on to things that hurt them?
I think it's thinking from a place of scarcity.
Okay.
I think more people than not think from a place of scarcity. There's very few of us that actually think from a place of abundance. By that, I mean, you have something and because in your brain you cannot think from a place of abundance, you can't see that it has to get better.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that I always say about love. I think I've said it to you before, is that like love can only get better.
Yeah.
Love can't, like you can't have said, when I touch the stove, my hands are going to get hot, so I'm going to touch the stove again. You're going to be like, okay, let me not touch the stove, let me use gloves. Then the next time there's a lesson. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you think from a place of scarcity, it sort of limits your vision to be able to see the ability for things to improve.
Mm.
You just basically think like, oh, because this is, I sort of reached the capacity of my happiness ever in my life in this situation.
Yeah.
I'll never experience this again. But then it's like, how beautiful is it to shift your mind and think, because I experienced joy at my peak at the peak of my life in this situation, that means the next situation, I can only get happier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I feel like thinking from a place of abundance, of believing that you actually are deserving of more than your brain can ever fathom. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what would you have to say before I answer? I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I'd say it's the exact same thing as now. I'd say people aren't aware of the other side, right? So you're constantly thinking, rather the devil I know than the devil that I don't know.
Yeah.
Right? I think it goes even deeper to what she's saying, because it's like, a lot of the time, we are such community people that we love helping people around us, right? So our cup isn't even full yet. So instead of us filling up our cup and then the overflow helping everybody around us, we don't fill up our cup and we fill up other people's cups.
And then we hold on to those things. Yeah.
And then we end up hurting ourselves in that way. I think that's personalizing quite a bit. But do you get what I'm saying? What about you?
I think people stay in that negative zone or in that negative mindset because obviously, as we all know, it's easier. It's easy to be sad.
Sure, it's also just easier.
It's just really just easier. Like it's the easier option of the two. Yeah. On one side, you have, I need to believe in myself and it's going to be okay. And on this other side, it's like, my whole world is falling apart.
Yeah.
And that's just it, you know? Mm. And what I like to say, and like, that's why I asked that question, like, how do you guys trust yourself? Like, what I like to say is that you need to build that trust in yourself to know that you are capable of overcoming because you've overcame before. You know what I mean? Mm. Just something that plays in my head all the time. Yeah.
Why is it comfortable for people to... Sorry, why is comfort more powerful than potential?
It's like I said, it's easier.
I think also... just to play like devil's advocate, right?
Yeah, go ahead,
sometimes there are people who've actually never been in a position of comfort.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like you feel like you're constantly on survival mode.
Yeah.
That when you do reach that comfort...
It's uncomfortable.
Like you're just like, it's uncomfortable and then you finally settle in it. And it's very difficult once you've settled into something you've never actually experienced to try and get out of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's where the whole, like the word that I used earlier, grace comes in. Mm. It's like sometimes you have to be patient with yourself to be like, I'm really struggling to get out of overthinking this thing, or I'm really struggling to let go of this thing. And then you have to just be like, but now, just by the way, you've never actually experienced something genuine ever. Yeah. So it makes sense that you're holding on to the one thing that felt genuine. I think that's why sometimes it's hard to step out of comfort, because sometimes we are in survival mode. Yeah. And when something has presented comfort before, you really believe that it can present comfort again. Yeah. Hence falling in love with people's potential, falling in love with the potential of ideas and all of that stuff.
Do you think, like, because you're speaking about survival mode now, do you think we have, like, unconscious beliefs, like, as beings that maybe stem from, like, upbringing? And then those unconscious beliefs that come from our upbringing, like, have now put us in this place of fear now.
Yeah.
To prevent us from overcoming things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
One of my friends has a podcast to me, Kekana, and she was talking about, like,
plates of food.
And she was saying that, like, kids are taught to eat more than they should because you're a young black kid, you're eating your food. They say, you're eating your full. Mm. Then your parents says, no, like, finish eating your food. Mm. Now you practice from a young age overeating towards your dietary requirements. So I'm asking, like, do you guys think there's some things from the past that we now firmly believe?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, do you think we believe that black people can't actually be as white, as successful as our counterparts? Bad example. I'm just saying, like, as an example of the belief.
Yeah, but there definitely are things that, like, because what you're describing is called the generational curse, right?
Yeah.
So that's something that where in your childhood, you are, your parents or parental figures in your life create some sort of border in your life. Like, for example, my border was that I was called lazy. You know this.
Yeah.
I was called lazy a lot when I was a kid. Like, you're lazy. So now I'm at a point in my life where I'd never
Let's call him why me.
They used to call me, why me? Like, why?
Because every time they're like, why me?
So this was my uncle, actually. And it only happened once. Because they always call my name at home. So Mama funny. Knows, Papa knows, everybody knows. They always call my... There was always that one sibling.
Yeah.
That, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a work relationship. It's easier to work with them. But
yeah.
I was called lazy my whole life. But now I'm in a point in my life where I'm working like probably the hardest I've ever worked. But I still feel... lazy.
Yeah.
Isn't that so sad? Mm. Isn't that because that mindset is
so
never shifted.
So now you believe that like you're just a lazy
it's like
person.
Now it's like everything is never enough.
Yeah.
Move a podcast with Tata. I'm on a group channel. I have my own portfolio. We also have a company, but it's not.
Yeah. You know, funny enough, like, because
I'm lazy.
That's crazy. for me, it's the contrary, right?
Yeah.
I was constantly,
wow,
you're such a hard worker. You're doing so good. But it always felt like I was getting recognized. love you, mom and dad. You did your best. But I gotta be honest. Yeah. It always felt like I was getting recognition for achievements.
Yeah.
So all I know is to, like, right now, if Tato buys me a Coke, I feel like I have to buy Tato the Coke company.
Yeah.
Like why am I getting this? Do you get what I mean? So because of that whole reward system, and I'm not sitting here saying that, like, that's not a good system. I feel like it is a good system as a parent to have to teach your kids that they need to work hard for things, right?
Definitely,
but I feel like when it's done to an extent where you're only ever getting, even in moments, I was saying to my friend, sorry, I digress, but I was saying to my friend how the older I'm getting, the more angry I get when someone says to me, like, you did so well or you're so mature after I had to overcome something that they put me through. Like, it makes me so angry. Like,
you make me feel so safe. Like, it's like,
oh my gosh, I'm so proud of how you handled that. You're so mature. You have such a, like, all these compliments that come as a result of me having, mom and dad couldn't come watch me at my netball practice.
Yeah.
And it's, you're so mature. You handled that so well. Mm. You played so well.
Yeah.
And now, as I'm growing up, I'm sort of trying to unlearn having to feel like I have to overperform in every field of my life in order to get recognition.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
hectic,
it's very difficult to unlearn that because you're sort of taught like a reward system. And there's parts of it, like I'm saying, there's parts of it that are healthy with and the things that we learn, like you're saying. And then there's also parts of it that are like unhealthy. And then you're left with the homework now of trying to figure out which is which. Yeah.
How does it look if you had to unlearn that? How does your life look like?
So here's the thing. I don't know if I like it. I don't know. If I'm being honest, I don't know if I like the idea of... Ish, guys.
I want to step into what you're saying a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, sorry, I want to step into it because recognition is such a big theme in Black children.
Mm.
Recognition, right? Mm. And how we perceive recognition. And for a lot of us, our moments of joy that we think of when we're kids is the recognition moments.
Mm-hmm.
We don't think of, like,
crazy
the shitty moments. Mm-hmm. We don't think of the...
Go ahead. Just to add some. I'll never forget this. Like, I remember, I think I was 10 or like 9 or even younger. And we were driving from Limpopo to Joburg. And I read out loud, don't drink and drive, speed kill, something like speeding killing or something.
Yeah.
And my dad and his friend laughed so loud. And they were like, oh, like, I could read. And like, I was like aware.
Mm.
Now, after that moment, I'm crying because the lights messed up my eyes.
It's okay.
Don't
drink and drive.
After that moment, my parents, I'd always read out loud. My parents wouldn't react anymore.
Mm.
But that memory of them reacting in a positive light will always be with me. And I think I was even like 7. I was very young.
It's embedded. So very important, like, and you're not the only one, even the viewers back home, they're also in this moment saying, like, yo, recognition, what was those moments? But what I've learned is that you need to, as you grow older, you need to break that shell of parental recognition and worldly recognition and start to recognize yourself.
But that's so hard.
It's the hardest part of life.
It's very hard. I was having this conversation with my therapist, right, where I was saying how, like, I'm very straightforward with things I don't like. I'm very confrontational. And she's like, so why aren't you like that with your dad?
I almost jumped off the cliff
because I was like, oh, like, my dad did, like, I will always give, because the word of God says you need to honor your parents. So I'll never speak of my parents without mentioning that they did do really well.
Yeah.
So that they also feel reassured that this is not like an attack. It's just me saying, like, hey, you know,
like, I peep.
My dad was, I was raised by entrepreneurs, right? So my dad was very busy. A lot of the time I was told, oh, I can't come because I'm busy working for you. And I'm going to meetings so that you can go to the school and you can. So I held the responsibility of my father's lack of presence is, like, because of me.
Mm.
So...
Oh, hectic.
Yeah, like, and not because my dad was a very present dad, but, like, in terms of, like, being there for things like packing stuff, fetching me from school, not really there for those things because he was busy building, you know, a future. And I was sort of raised to believe that, oh, these things are happening because of me, right?
Yeah, that's so hectic.
Now...
So heavy to hold.
Now that my dad is finally giving me the time of day and him and I are spending a lot more time together, even when I feel like he's doing something that I do not like, I don't want to lose the privilege of finally after, I think maybe I'd say started so, after 21 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to lose the privilege after 21 years of my dad being so busy that he couldn't sit down for 2 seconds and fetch me from school because he was in meetings. Now at 21, because now I'm able to speak up for myself and say, "Dude, you're fetching me today."
Yeah.
I can't, I even though what you're doing is really upsetting me, I'm not going to say it because then I might just lose that privilege. Sure. And then what do we
you're
do?
So real. You're so real.
Yeah.
That's so real.
So the recognition thing, like it sometimes you don't realize how much it plays onto you because it's like, you guys know this. If somebody comes here and they get your order wrong, I'm like, excuse me. But somebody could sit down and my dad could come here and say something that really hurts my feelings. I'll tell him that hurt my feelings. But going down to the extent of why and the, we don't go that far.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It's just a very, it's such an important life lesson because this is, because we're in our breakthrough, right? Mm-hmm. And we're in our season of awareness on the podcast. It is such a valuable lesson to see whose recognition you value most in life. Mm. Because those are the people.
You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because those are the people that subconsciously like are applying pressure to you in your own head.
Mm.
So even in moments, like I know if my dad called me the other day, I answered, said, "Hey." He said, "Hey." I said, "How are you?"
But you need to change the papa's.
I'm good.
His context. Like
this is my, papa.
It's papa, but it's like these, you know the red exclamation marks?
Yeah.
The emojis. Like, pew. It's like, papa.
But anyways, he was like, hey, how are you? I'm like, "I'm good. How are you?" He's like, "I'm good." I'm like, "I'm good." He's like, "Good. I was calling you because I wanted to check if you're good." I'm like, "Okay, I'm good." Then he was like, "How's Tato?" Then I'm like, "Okay, he's good." We spoke about Tato for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Then he's like, "Okay, cool. I'll talk to you later. Shop. Later, that's never, that's the thing. And in the moment, I'm just like, "Damn, bro! Like, I wish I could tell this guy, yo, I'm struggling. This is what's happening in my life. I have this, that. I need to do this. What do you think? What's your thing?" But like, I have such a huge fear of upsetting my father, as you said.
Sure.
I have such a huge fear of upsetting my parents, of letting them know. Like, even in our suffering, which is very important to everyone listening, in our suffering, we lack the ability to ask for help because we are scared to lose recognition.
But also because we're raised to believe that our parents, not even to believe, because sometimes, most of the time it is true, our parents did their everything for us to be able to afford the luxury of not having to be first generation or second generation or third generation or whatever the situation is, that it sort of feels like you're unappreciative.
Yeah.
To sit down and be like, "Oh yeah, when I was growing up and you sort of did this, it traumatized me."
Yeah.
Because at the same time, it's like, They did the best with what they could. It's tricky.
But that comes from their reaction, because I think we've all tried it once to be like, "Yo, dude, like, I don't like what you're doing, this thing," or you kind of show, like, maybe you'll address an issue like, "Yo, you didn't fish me from that game."
Yeah.
And they'll be like, "Do you know what we were doing at that time?"
Yeah.
They have like a flashback of them getting beaten after a soccer game and you complaining about him not being there.
Yeah.
And I wish we could give the audience some sort of advice to tackle that, but I feel like we can't.
We are
still trying to figure it out.
I think the first step is admitting. To admit and be like, "Yo, bro, like, this is our relationship. And I want something better, this, that. But I want to recognize myself from now on. I want to give myself that joy. I want to be able to say, 'Lebo, you wash the dishes, but no one has ever washed the dishes in this flat like that before. Wow, you're a clean brew.'"
Can I step in though?
Yeah, go ahead.
I play devil's advocate a lot, guys, because I'm an
actress. Don't worry.
My brain is always split into, I think for a lot of people, right?
That's why it's a podcast.
I had to learn in high school that when some people have really bad relationships with their parents, it's not from an unappreciative point of view. It's not from a give your parents grace. There's people who, like, even the statement "give your parents grace" makes them so angry because they genuinely have such that strained of a relationship with their parents.
Yeah.
And I think for those people, because we're like in the privileged enough position to be like, "You know what, our parents had their ups and their downs, but you know, they fed us." You know, these people who have like very messed up situations with their parents, or very messed up relationships. And I will just say, like, for those people, you don't have to be responsible for mending a relationship with your parents if they don't even make the initiative or show the interest to
you. Don't have
and there's so much power in what you're saying, because a lot of the time we hear advice like, "No, ghost." Like, I remember I had issues with my parents in, like, I think I was in early university and I went to therapy, right? Yeah. And then there was a time where, like, university was tough. Like, I was failing a lot. Like, I didn't know myself. And people were just saying therapy. Mm. So my parents didn't even know that I was going to therapy. But then at the time, my friends were like, dude, just give it a try. It's free. You pee. I go, and the advice I get from the therapist is like, speak to your dad. I'm like, bitch, like
if I could do that, you think I'd be here? Yeah.
Like, no, maybe you, maybe
it's like
this.
White therapy. She was white, no?
She was black, which is confusing.
That's very confusing. That's very confusing. Because I was about to pull the race card.
But there is a difference between black and white therapy. Just saying.
And then I'm like, yo, so I feel like my mom makes me feel like this. She's like, oh, you should tell her. Then I'm like, okay.
It's not that easy.
I'm like, dude, tell me, like, how do I tell her?
Yeah.
And then I came to the conclusion, and I think that's what Nell was saying, that there's some situations that are fucked up so badly that you genuinely can't do much about it. And as a child, you don't even have the authority
to challenge your parents. It's not your responsibility either. It's not your, and unfortunately, the typical situation that happens in black families is that your parents get old, bakula, and then all of a sudden it's my child. Those are the moments where, you know, if you're a believer, you really just have to turn to God and say, hello, I'm going to need you to give me the strength to do this because I don't want anything to do with this person.
Yeah.
But one thing that I've learned is having suffered like a great loss recently was whether or not relationship is there, whether or not you and this person know each other. There's certain things that happen in your soul when you have loss from somebody that is tied to your soul, a parent, a sibling, especially family.
Yeah.
So even if you have no, I know people who have lost parents that they had no relationship with, but there's something, a trajectory of their life changed, even if I don't know this guy. Do you know what I mean? So it's a very tricky thing to do, but I think I will say for people who are in privileged positions like us, where you can sort of try and navigate that, for 2 seconds, it's very important to step back and think about what is it that's really upsetting you. Is it that one time your mom obetile ka faduku because you didn't do the dishes quick enough? Or is it the fact that every time you did the dishes after that to make her happy, she never even blinked at you? Do you know what I mean? So it's, I think it's very important to step back and get to the roots. So when you do come to somebody and say to them, hi, so I didn't like how you did this. It's not. It doesn't feel like you're attacking that one example.
And it's so crazy that you're using that example because I was sharing an episode with Black Newborn for my podcast Capable. And we were unpacking how love brings out trauma. So a lot of us only really see the effects of our upbringing with the romantic partner. But if you guys want to check out that conversation, it's out on YouTube. So check it out, Capable. We won't unpack that now. We've already discussed that. I do have some practical tools for you guys back at home, right? I'm trying to do this in every single episode. I want these episodes to be stories that are education, but at the same time, active. Pen and paper. Like, let's do something,
active,
right?
Yeah.
So this is something that you guys are going to do. You're going to write this down either right now or tonight. Make a note of the timestamp. Number one, what am I currently holding on to? Number two, why am I scared to release it? You can pause if I'm speaking fast. Number three, who would I become if I actually let it go? That's the most powerful one. Right? So now I want to go into you a little bit more.
When are you going to introduce me?
At this point,
hi, my name is Noah, guys.
Never. This is actually a perfect time.
I'm the fourth from Betty Sully.
After 30 minutes of the podcast, we have our brilliant MC, actress, businesswoman, entrepreneur, everybody's favorite smile.
The fourth from Betty sibling.
The fourth sibling. This is our youngest sibling, guys, our youngest sister. We actually have two sisters. You know, people think that Noah and I, like, well, we are, but people think that, like, we're siblings. Like,
yeah, people think we're actual, like, family.
Because the Rapetsu are Rampedi.
Yeah, the R, the R.
It's the R.
The R. And the Limpopo, going to Limpopo at the same time.
Yes.
What are some things, my sister, that you have had to let go of?
The hardest things I've had to let go of is friendships.
Yeah.
I am a friend. Like, I love friendship. Yeah, like, I am a friend down. I'm like, I don't care if we haven't spoken in 2 years. Yeah. You call me and I come running. Yeah. I really love the idea of friendship and I really honor it. And I'm always trying my best to
honor it.
Yeah. Like, even if somebody hurts me, I always just assume you never meant to. Like, I always give people the benefit of the doubt.
Exhibit A, a friend at hand.
No, but if somebody, like, I always believe in giving friendship the benefit of the doubt, but there comes a point where you giving a friend the benefit of the doubt means that you're starting to doubt your own benefit as a person, like what you bring to the relationship. So it's like, yeah, maybe you're not a horrible person. Like, that's the thing that's always been so difficult for me when it came to friendships I had to let go, is you, how, what do I do then with the memories I have of you? Because you've hurt me to this extent. I have to make peace with the fact that you're not a horrible person. You're just not my person. Yeah. And that is so difficult because it's like, but I would have never done that to you. Dog. Like, I would have never, it would have never even crossed my mind. Because I know the kind of, sometimes it's not even about because of the character that I have. Sometimes it's like, I know Tato doesn't like jokes being made about certain things. Mm-hmm. So even if as a person I can make that joke to Lebo, I would never make it to Tato because I have a recognition of Tato's like character. That's that's what friendship is. It's like, we know each other enough to know, like, I can make that joke here, here, here. But if somebody makes that joke to my friend, it's on site.
Yeah.
Because, and you know what I mean? So it's just like, it's very difficult to sort of make peace with the fact that some people actually don't, we don't friend the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't friend the same. So friendship was a big one that I had to let go of.
I was in the most like complex conversation of a friend the other day and we're speaking about letting go, right? And he said something so profound. He's like, he said, oh, I don't want to let go because I love and care for this person so much that it just becomes continuous. I want you to take me through, what's your emotional journey with like letting go? Do you just say to yourself, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to do this with a heartbreak no matter what, even though I care about this person, I love them, but they just have done too much. Where do you go from like from your emotions in that letting go process?
So one thing about me, I'm a talker thrower. Like, we're going to talk about it. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, Trevi, just by the way, I don't like this.
Even the person,
I believe in talking about things. I think it's, friendship is an investment. Yeah. So imagine you invest in a bank account, right? And there comes a point where you're not investing anymore and the bank stops sending you messages. And then you open your banking app and all of a sudden the account's not there.
Yes.
Nobody said it's canceling. Nobody gave you 30 days. You would think that's insane because I invested so much in this.
and they're
thinking that's insane because we invested so much in making sure this works for you. So that's how I look at friendship, is I have the conversation with you. And it's not like a fool me once, I cut you off. No, we have the conversation. Yeah. But then there comes a pinnacle point in our friendship where I look at your actions. And if me addressing you seems like it's an attack rather than out of love, that's where I realize, oh yeah, I don't think we're going to be able to converse further. Because I always believe that when somebody comes forth to me to address something they don't like, it's never from a place of anger. Yeah. It's always from a place of love. For me to confront you means I love you. For me to tell you things that bother me means I love you. So when we get to that point where we've tried to speak through things, we've tried to, and now we're at a pinnacle point. One, you don't even realize that we're at a breaking point. So that's enough for me.
Yeah, like,
I don't, because there's people who are like, they don't really, like, you're like, do you not realize that this was our last conversation? Like, can you not see it? And then the second one is when we are having that conversation, instead of you looking at it as, oh, my friend is saying this is how I hurt her, and I can tell how she hurt me, and let's find the middle ground, this is a sorry party for you. It's up to me to say sorry, up to you to say sorry. But you don't think that we can, you don't realize that this is a situation where we need to try and find a middle ground.
Sure, sorry party. I'm gonna start using that.
Yeah, like,
don't make this into a sorry party.
There really are people who are victims, hey? There are people who are victims. Shame. Like, they're very like, true. Just because you screamed at me, like, that means you owe me an apology.
You are
and it's
wrong.
Like, yeah, but it's because I was trying to tell you for 20 years that you keep poking me and I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then the final time that I scream, it's a sorry
it's
party.
Like, whoa.
Yeah. So that's my thought process, is when we get
very
to that
logical,
breaking point.
Very system based. Very step by step.
It takes me a while.
But were you always like this?
Yeah.
Were you always like in this, like, I could do it step by step?
Most of my friendships, I actually didn't have to let go of them. They stuck the middle finger in my face.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, I'm that person. I'm like, please stick a middle finger in my face so that I can help you hold
Show
it
me
up.
Who you are.
So, yeah. Like, most of my friends, there's people in my life who've been like, Nawa. Oh yeah, nah, I guess sure. And then I had to burn. And then I was like, oh, okay.
I've learned. I feel like we need to really follow our parents' advice if they're still in your life when it comes to friendships. Parents are never wrong about friends.
Never. Well, my dad once told me I could never trust anyone. That was a bit crazy. But
he's wrong, though.
He was right. Like, in terms
you
of...
You can't trust anybody. You know, my father...
Sometimes, you know, I don't even remember...
my own wife.
You know, sometimes...
I can't trust a human being.
You'll hear, like, a parental message, and then you need to, like, translate.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever been, like, your parents will tell you information, then you're like, you know what, let me translate.
I don't know if it's just me, but, black parents, let me... I'm going to say black because I'm black. Yeah. Black parents do this thing where they tell you highly not to share your problems with your friends.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they see it so much that you're like suffering in silence.
And your achievements.
Right.
And your projects. Guys, how do we, and what's working in progress.
Where do we balance the pedals with that? Because sometimes, like, sorry, I'm actually suffering. Yeah. And, like...
And I'm such like a yapper. I'm a yapper.
Yes.
So I want to tell everybody what I'm doing.
But
what
now
I'm
my parents
on.
Have engraved in my mind that you don't share your achievements with your friends. You don't tell your friends the things you're going through. And it's like, but then what is the...
Of life.
I want to say something. You can't, if I wanted to get married, I'd never take advice from Nebo on marriage.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? So I think when your parents give you certain advice about certain things, let's look at how they are.
That's why I said you need to translate.
Like, if my mom gives me advice about something, I'm like, but how happy are you in that department?
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because my mom always say like, yo, don't talk about guys, my eyes have a serious issue. You guys see that?
A little shame. Yeah. A little red.
Yeah, so she'd be like, yo, don't speak about the things that you're currently doing, like what you're progressing and like your plan.
Mm.
And then I'm like, but like, I can see that with you that like, you don't do that and you don't have that many friends.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I don't think I want a life that doesn't have that many friends.
But sometimes people speak from experience, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like, 100%.
Like, there's a time that my dad was talking about love and all that stuff. And what he was saying was like the most wildest things. But like I said, when you translate it, that's why it's so important to translate
also
it into
when they
your
give
life.
Us relationship advice. I'm like,
are you the best person to give me a relationship?
I don't know.
If I want that type of relationship, guys, let's not be scared to say these things, bro. Like, I feel like now you're trying to like sugarcoat it.
No, I'm not sugarcoating.
Like,
that's
what of course, you can't speak to everybody about everything you're gonna do.
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
I can't be like, yo, you know, Lebo, this. But like. Guys,
the concept of not telling anybody anything is insane.
Yeah.
It's insane. Also, especially when it comes to relationships, that's a big one that I was taught. Your relationships, but then I had to have the conversation with my mom to be like, Mom, sometimes it feels like you're constantly pouring this negativity into my brain of what I can and can't say, and I'm going to suffer in silence. Can we find a balance? And then after a few conversations like that, she restructured it and said, find your main people that you tell things to.
Yeah.
Don't tell all your friends everything. Yeah.
Because I was in the car with Percy. I think we were coming from Mulder's Drift. And I want to do like a big boy purchase really soon. Yeah? Mm. So I'm like, oh, Mama, I finally found the thing that I want. Mm-hmm. Like, I sent you a video. She's like, hey, shh. I'm like, what? I'm like, I'm just with Percy. She's like, hey,
what?
I'm like, what? Like, dude,
like,
I
Percy's going to see it when I get it.
Like, I understand. Yeah? And I think also like, it's also like, it's quite biblical too, but it's like, guys, I have to have my people.
I have to, yeah. Mm.
Like, I only really trust, like, my brother, Percy, my girlfriend, and certain people with, like, what I'm doing every day.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. I'm not there telling Tabang and Kenny and, like, random people, like, yo, by the way, like, I'm gonna, no, it's like.
Mm.
But also take into mind that our parents come from an avoidant generation.
Yeah.
They are highly avoidant. That generation in general is highly avoidant. So a lot of things to them came as a result of a buildup.
Yeah.
So when a friend did them dirty,
yeah,
there was a lot of avoided conversation. There was a lot of avoided recognition. And it comes as a result of a blow up.
I want to sprinkle on that. Like, they also came from a very highly competitive space.
Yeah.
Right? Where only like maybe one out of like five people could make it, for example. So everyone's aiming for the number one spot. Whereas in our generation, I feel like there's more winning spots.
More opportunities.
More winning spots, you know what I mean?
Why do you guys think that our... Because I was speaking to CK about this like yesterday. I was like, dude, it's so funny how like our generation, like we speak about our emotions. Like when I'm with CK, I'm like, yo,
very
right now...
Sometimes when you are working towards a goal, what happens? Maybe one, two people are in your corner.
Yeah.
The moment you cross the line, you buy the car, you buy the house, what happens? Everybody in the world is clapping, but they never saw the shit that happened before the success.
Can I say, while we're on this topic of how our parents were in a competitive space, right? And we were there's more opportunity for us. we find ourselves a lot in competition with our friends, but not actual competition. We just have, we're fetching the same opportunities. We're auditioning for the same role. We're trying to reach to the same brand. We're fetching the same opportunities, right? And that is a very difficult space to sort of navigate, to be like, me and Tato right now are both going to try and approach this brand about like a production that we both have. And we know that the biggest production company is this. How do we find that balance of, I want to share with Tato that like I have this idea and he shares with me, but we know that tomorrow we have to pitch to the same person. Like that's also something that I feel like is very difficult for us, that while we are in this habit of not really taking our parents' advice fully on of don't tell everybody everything, we need to find the balance of, you need to be able to discern who's somebody that you can tell something to. Yeah. And that's also a risk on its own. Because me and Tata could be like, oh yeah, the friendship we have, we can tell each other something before we go into the meeting and it's fine. And then the bill says 50 million and now,
I think you have to be, you have to know who you're comfortable with seeing when also.
Yeah.
Because there's certain people I'm not comfortable seeing when, like my ops. Like, I don't like seeing my ops win. Like when they win, I'm like, dope, but I'm like,
I don't have ops anymore.
Guys, I find the concept of ops so insane.
I don't have ops anymore. No, no,
no. How do you identify what a
waste,
an op?
It's such
op,
a waste
though.
Of energy. It's such a waste of energy.
Like, not even that.
Me.
I don't think, I think it's possible to have ops, but I think my question is, how do you identify them enough that, that they stay in that like position? I'm not going to sit here and act like there's people that I don't, there's certain people, you know this, there's certain people that if I see, I don't care if you stand in front of my face, babe, I'm going to look the other way. Do you know what I mean?
Can you define op?
But I don't know what like,
so, okay, so, so number one, my ops don't live rent free in my head. Teacher and I practice that like people that we don't fuck with, they're out. Only if we happen to bump into them. So now I recently bumped into an op yesterday. Do you get what I'm saying? So an op is someone that has clearly disrespected me or my romantic partner or my brother. And in that disrespect, I can never forgive you for that disrespect. Because when I tried to engage you to speak about that disrespect, you were funny.
It's a sorry party.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry party. So that's what an op is to me.
Let's say Tato and I are having a back and forth.
Yeah.
The way in which, if Tato's the one doing me wrong, the character that he showed in his most vile moment. For me, if you're my friend and you're okay with being friends that is that vile
to you,
when they're when we're in a negative space, I don't expect you to take on my beef, but I also can't see myself feeling comfortable enough to be vulnerable around you. Because for me, that's what it is. It's about the person's character when we are in a place of badness. Like, how did what extent did that person go to prove themselves innocent? Or what extent did that person go to? Did our loyalty and our honor to one another go out the window because we're in a bad space? Then you, as my friend, are going to go and be friends with someone like that, and I must still be vulnerable with you. I can't. Do you get what I mean? It's the same thing of like, like people who have the whole thing of, oh, just because we're not obetile mang mang kastena, I'm not going to... You went and you, like, for example, I don't know, broke a family apart and you're proud of it. It's not even like you found yourself in that situation and you're like, how do I? You're proud of it. You hold it on your chest. And I say, I honor marriage. How are you and I going to be friends in that context? It's,
It's different principles.
It's different principles.
That's why your principles and your morals have to align and you have to conversate. I remember there's a time I was in university, right? I had a group of friends, right? And
she knows the story. Well, she knows, of, she knows what was happening at the time. Because we're friends.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes. So there was a lot of things happening, as you may have known.
I think I was being accused of cheating on someone.
Yes, I know the whole lore. Yes,
there was a... The person that started that rumor was that girl's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, and that ex-boyfriend's friend... that ex-boyfriend's friend was friends of my friendship group, right? So we went to play touch rugby on the field, and we took a group photo, and I posted it. And Tato was like, yo, you're chilling with my ops. And I was like, holy shit, I was.
Yeah.
And in that moment.
Because these guys were ripping me apart on Twitter.
Yeah, they were ripping me apart on Twitter. And I'm just there like. And I was just there like, yo, I'm just chilling with Fiso. And because I'm going with my one friend who's friends.
It's how does it feel being that person? Because I will say, I am the kind of person who I really feel like you're not like this. But there's a lot of people who live their lives on oopsie. And it drives me insane because I'm a very, like, I'm like, we're adults. You need, there's a lot of people also, who are like, oopsie, I was just like, I didn't realize that I was, and it's like, how, when do you stop choosing oblivion?
So,
you know,
also,
when do we,
so I also have to explain something. So, we're also in like race culture. So, if you play soccer, you play with every race. I can't exclude, But now, so in that moment, so we had that all conversation. And then Tato contacted me, you know, obviously in his frustration, you know, he was on the left side of the conversation of like, yo, you shouldn't do that. I would never do that to you. And I always say to myself, dude, if you communicate something, perfect. Now I know. I didn't know. And I didn't know that this person, don't get me wrong, when I was in the space, I knew that person had hurt you and et cetera. But I am trying to be humane in this. I can't now.
So on the humane thing, yeah. I had to unlearn this.
But now I know.
No. I'm not done. I'm saying on this humane thing, I had to unlearn this thing. Because I don't agree with you on the humane thing, like as a reason there. When you say you're trying to be humane in the moment, obviously you're trying to be civil.
No, I'm so sorry, before you continue, this is in the past.
I'm aware. I just want to hear the point that
I'm no longer like that anymore. Go ahead.
100%. So when for me, it's like, as I'm saying, I also unlearned this thing. When you say you're being humane, you're not being humane. You're choosing your comfort over my comfort.
And you're
caring about that person in that moment over what over my hurt and my pain. Do you get what I'm saying?
Can I tie this back to I want to tie this back to the our topic of letting go. Another thing that I think, especially Tata and I's characters are very different, but we're very alike, in especially in situations like this. When it comes to confrontation and disrespect and one thing that I think has been difficult for me to let go of, and maybe I'm bringing it to light to you and to you, Lebo, is letting go of offense. That's something that is very...
Somebody offending you.
Like letting go of offense, of having been offended. Because that's something that requires you to sort of... When you do go and confront a situation, when you do go and face a situation, you have to have let go of the offense before the conversation happens. Because once you carry offense, when you confront a situation, you have an expected reaction from the person because you're still holding on to the offense. You're allowed to be offended. But I think it's so important to, when we're in a space of what we've built is what we've built, the same way in a relationship, if I'm upset that you left your socks there, if I come in and tell you about your socks while I'm still offended about those socks, it's not going to come out the same way as once I've let go of the offense. Me letting go of the offense doesn't mean I'm letting go of the hurt. It doesn't mean I'm letting go of the disappointment, but it just means that I'm no longer centering my emotions and my experience as the focal point. And that's something that's been very difficult for me to like let go of. And I think that's something that could help you as well when you are addressing this, is sort of trying to let go of the offense and have the conversation from a point of not so much you, me, you, but more so just like the vulnerability we share, the relationship we have. You are compromising this vulnerability once you open up this part of things. Once you engage with this person, you've compromised our vulnerability. So as much as I might not be as offended as I was yesterday, I feel compromised. I feel like I don't know where my trust stands. And it's not that you're angry, you're frustrated. Because when our vulnerability is compromised, we don't know what to do. Because you still want to trust this person and have the best intention for them, but you're compromised. Like you're just like... you know, so letting go of offense is something that
I think it's a good tool.
I only learned how to start doing it like 2 weeks ago. But it goes a long way.
I learned it long ago, but I think I learned it from like ex-girlfriends. Being cheated on is a big one. You know, when you get cheated on, you have to like, you in that circle.
I ain't letting go of no offense.
Am I what? Am I this? Am I, was I not man enough for her? What? Was this, that? Was I bad at this? Was I? But you just have to just let go and say, dude, I'm still a person.
Expectation management.
Yeah.
Is a very, very important thing. So important. If you have friends who are beefing with someone.
So important.
Then you need to ask the question, like, okay, cool.
What can I do?
If you're beefing with someone,
how do
I behave? Can I engage that person or can I not engage that person? Do you get what I'm saying? Because if I had said that to certain people, I would then.
But you look, he did. He did. I just have to mention it. You did.
In the face, like
in person,
guys, I don't want to be in person.
He said, I don't want to be around this person. I don't like this person. I don't even want us to be around this bowling with them.
And they still did it.
And they still did.
So that's another conversation. I think another thing that's why I was like, you're right about the expectation. The expectation management also factors in overthinking, right? And another, when we have two people, right? Like, so it's me, the person who was hurt by character C, and then there's character B, who I wasn't directly hurt by character C, but like, I guess I'm friends with character A, you know? And character B, most of the time in this context, not as a person, is the person who's trying to please all people.
Everybody,
who carries the responsibility of being the people pleaser.
Yeah.
And the hard part about friendship is, in order to actually choose friendship, you need to be okay with not pleasing the people that you don't have to honor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
For me, that's what it goes down
100%.
To. Everybody has people pleasing traits. I used to think I'm not a people pleaser because I'm confrontational.
Yeah.
And then I learned, like, I have my own people pleasing traits.
Yeah.
But then there are people who are people pleasers to a hectic extent, right? And I've had friends like that who, like, are people pleasing to a point of, like, dude, I might just cut you off without telling you anything, hey.
Yeah.
But sometimes people who are put in that...
Surreal.
Yeah, people who are put in the position of character B, who feel like, I'm trying to keep the energy nice and, you know...
So you don't even...
Everybody, let's
everybody
all float.
Smile.
They need to be made aware of
you're
the
annoying.
Fact that...
That person you're annoying.
You're people pleasing.
You're annoying.
And sometimes you need to sit in their face and be like...
You're annoying.
What's going on?
What are you doing?
Where do you stand?
That's not our guy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Especially when you're somebody who believes so strongly.
That's very true. What you
where
just said
do you
is
stand?
Very true.
Because I'm a very big, where do you stand?
Because if you're going to please everybody, I'm going to leave the room.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then so you can continue your performance.
So you continue performance. And if you're happy with that performance, that means that you weren't, we were never really anything of substance to you. So maybe I'm overstating my position in your life.
And I also wonder sometimes, and this could be a question.
You guys think the same, man, because I'm like, whoa, wait.
We're very different, but very alike.
You know why? You know why? Because now you're thinking of that person now.
No, I'm thinking of...
No. The reason why you're saying five steps back, because you're like, no, that person's intent might not be
I'm
that.
I'm thinking about the process, right? So we've stipulated. So you said, no, this person's people-pleasing. Person B is trying to make everyone in the room happy. It's incorrect, because it's like, you're not part of... That's not even part of our life. That person's not part of our life. The you leaving the room, it shouldn't be a thing of like you like I overstated my position. I did too much. You shouldn't feel those ways. You should just be like, that person let me down. It's nothing to do with you.
No, I disagree.
Because I've been played. I'm the fool.
Yeah. Can I also tell you why I disagree?
That's why I'm genuinely like.
Can I tell you why I disagree? And you're right, Tato and I. One thing we're very similar with is our strictness.
Yeah.
We're both like our strictness level.
Maybe you guys are just more strict.
We're very strict. But the reason why
I
disagree sometimes, especially for talking in a friendship or relationship context, the whole it has nothing to do with me. It omits the other person from being responsible.
Yes.
It omits the other person from having to be accountable.
Yes.
Sometimes it has to do with me because I'm the reason that like it's, you know what I mean? And I also like, I was saying that like, and this is more so a question for the audience or maybe Level, you could answer it because you saying like in your past years.
Please also answer it, guys, in the comment section.
Please answer
right
it
now.
In the comment section. When people who feel like they are people pleasers.
Yeah.
What is it that makes you feel like is going to happen if you actually choose the people who prioritize you over pleasing the masses?
The logical thing to do.
So,
what is it that makes you feel? I want to know, and I'm not asking from a point of.
Definitely.
I'm asking from a point of genuine trying to understand. Yeah. What do you feel like is on the side of loss if you choose to prioritize those that prioritize you over prioritizing?
That's a nice question.
What do you feel like you're going to lose if Tato, who doesn't know you, disapproves of you?
Yeah.
Tato probably won't even see you again, but Lebo, who sees you every day,
you
know, is hurt.
I can answer. I think, and I'm speaking like as a previous people pleaser, I used to be extreme people that are people pleasers. Their number one priority isn't people, isn't like friendship, isn't really, it's peace. It's just peace. It's a moment of peace. It's like, can I be the bridge? Can I be the person who gets everybody along? Can I be the person who overcomes everybody in the room that makes sure that like, hey, we're all good. Like, guys, it's not that deep. We're all good. And I don't mind being the plug.
Yeah.
So they put themselves in a position of like some sort of like, negotiator.
He's not saying it's a good thing.
No.
That's the mindset.
Yeah, and that's such a negative thing because, as you said, it takes away from accountability, relationship.
Yeah.
It takes away from expectation.
Yeah.
But that is, I shit you not, that is the psychology of the people pleaser in the room.
So what about a situation where, let me make this quick, where you're people pleasing but we're not in a common room? So do you get what I mean?
Then you're an enemy
a situation
of
where, for example,
let's say we're beefing.
Let's say even we don't even have to be beefing. Something as simple as I needed Tato to show up for me, and Tato chose to rather show up for Lebo and his friends because Lebo and his friends at that moment invited him somewhere. He knows he made a commitment to somebody, but he's gonna choose what's in front of him right now.
Right now.
He's pleasing
the people,
the people
with, the people
in
with.
Front
yeah.
of him. Yes, yeah. basically. So you're omitting from the responsibilities that you have in order to make the people in front of you happy. Yeah. That's where I think my question
that's
from.
A bad character so, to
yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like when yeah. I think people pleasing, I'm thinking people who genuinely at the time, I always think of like a fear of confrontation. Mm. Yeah, like I think of people who are scared to say no.
They're scared
yeah.
to disappoint.
Who are scared to disappoint, yeah.
I was about to say, yes.
They still want to feel chosen, selected, and they want to be in the room.
Mm. Yes.
And they want to still have that community.
Does that yes. tie into not having felt like you are chosen often?
No, I think, you know what it is? Like, so it's what you said. So in that moment, nah, the psychology of it is that the person is having a performance. Because people pleasing is a performance, guys. It's wow. like, it's an art. So... It is.
That's funny.
And
action.
It is because like deep it like it's like you said, like if I'm in a drinks with Tato and you're like, yo, Lebo, I need you to be at my place by 5 p.m. and Tato and I it's 4:30 now and we're on our third drink, my performance is not in front of you. Mm, I'm not with you.
You don't have
my
to
performance
please me.
Then goes to who?
To Tato.
Because he's the nearest person. So that is why people act like this. And it's such and you have to understand people pleasers are the people that put themselves last. They put themselves last in every scenario, in every single.
You know, it's tricky because I hear what you're saying because I have friends who are recovered people pleasers, yeah. and a lot of times they ended up in the position where they didn't even want to do any of this. First
but they lost, but they're actually prioritizing themselves.
Yeah,
because they're prioritizing themselves being happy.
Yeah.
So like you guys not being grand or an issue. It's like, I want happiness. I want to have fun.
Yeah.
So now if there's animosity or anything weird, it's like the fun is gone. So they're actually choosing themselves too. They just happen to end up on the
and also people pleasing has layers, hey?
Sorry, we were on letting go, but then we were like, sorry, guys, please comment down.
We did get back to letting go though.
Guys, let's go comment. People pleasing. Please comment if we need a 5-part series of Neo. Because
like the month of what? Let's
if we have May open,
the month of March.
If we have May open, please comment down if you guys would like that. Because clearly we're not done speaking.
Yeah. I feel seen and I feel heard and I want to continue.
Wait, but I want to ask you guys one question. Yeah. Just with one word, right? Because clearly we are rambling on and on.
Yeah.
What's something that currently right now you would say you're overthinking to a point where it feels like it's out of your control? Like simple, like straight up answer.
How much I'm loved.
Okay.
Damn.
How much I'm loved.
Wow. Okay, Tato.
By us.
No, just in general. Like.
You see why I said you have to give the statement and move on because then we're going to start another hour series.
How much I'm like, how much I'm loved. Yeah, yeah. It's actually been messing with me.
I'm overthinking.
That's definitely
like my road to success and like, am I successful? And like my friends. Because I've lost so many friends.
Same. I've lost, I think I lose 10 friends a year.
I don't actually have friends outside of like no, not like
no,
that.
No, no, like,
like
well,
so,
can you just
like, no. When I say that, like, so obviously like it's different.
Yeah.
And when I say I'm talking about the men in my life also.
Okay.
Not the woman.
You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not the woman. My relationships with women is so much easier because my friendships with women are. Women are just emotional beings and you guys have a certain level of intellect when it comes to emotions, which is so powerful.
And conversation.
That men don't have.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So obviously I know that like with you, Tumi, Kekana, with Tsego, like you guys are my circle for life.
Yeah.
And you guys have never done me any wrong.
Yeah.
Right? Even in the moments where I saw you regularly and the moments I didn't see you regularly. Then I have those friends, and this is probably going to get clipped. I have those friends that I had for most of my life and they're gone. Because they did me wrong. And it's like, oh shit, they've actually been doing me wrong my whole life, but I was just people pleasing. Do you get what I'm saying? So now I'm stuck with my colleagues who now, are they my friends?
So all your friends are in your ecosystem.
Do you know what I'm saying? So obviously my brother's like my best friend. Percy's a good friend of mine. Hunt is within my community. He's my friend. Do you get what I'm saying? I've got you. Then, like, but I can name all of my friends. Especially Lebo, Percy, Newo, Tsego, Tumi. Anybody else is like,
there's a couple more, but like, obviously it's like, when
and
you
Noah's
say-
And they're like, whoa, why aren't you naming everybody else?
No, like, obviously-
You get what I'm saying?
No, yeah. Everyone's going to understand, like, you're talking about your inner circle.
No, I'm talking about my friends, bro.
Which is your, that should be
you
your
know
inner
what?
Circle.
The friends one is so real because I'm similar, before I say what I've been overthinking, I'm similar in the sense that I've never lacked friends.
Yeah.
But I realized that I've actually-
Never had friends.
I've never lacked friends, but I've actually lacked safe spaces. Like, there's very few people.
Wow.
Yeah, like, there's very few of my friends, even, like, of my close friends right now that I feel like would actually... The friends I have left that I say, like, are my friends.
Yeah.
Kato knows this. My 21st, the list was probably, like, my 18 people. Mama, now it's less than 10. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's the friends that I'm like, listen, I got your back. You got my back. And then there's the ones where I'm like, listen, I actually expect of you to show up for me.
Exactly.
And it actually hurts me that you're don't. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But something that I'm overthinking.
Now Raymond's, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, because you're talking about like your in...
I'm talking about my family.
Your intentional family. Friends.
Yes. You're also talking about people that if something was to happen... Because one thing that I feel like we don't have a lot of in today's culture is... We've tried to create relationships and friendship spaces that don't require people to actually be inconvenienced.
Mm.
The gift of friendship and relationship is inconvenience.
Yes.
So, I just went through a very tragic part of my life.
Yeah.
I did expect of you to show up for me in some way. So you sitting here and telling me, things got busy and
it's wrong.
It's wrong, you know. But something that I'm overthinking.
I was about to ask you. I was like, "What are you overthinking?"
I don't know if it's the age. I don't know if it's what.
Your frontal lobe just said
100% downloaded. 100% downloaded.
Am I actually going to be able to have it all?
Mm.
The career and the family.
You're so. I like how in tune you are with reality.
Yeah. Because for me,
reality, emotions.
I sometimes laugh and I feel like God was making a joke because I'm a highly ambitious person, right?
Yeah.
And also my career is tied down to my passion.
Yeah.
My inability to act means my inability to actually breathe. Like if I'm not performing, I feel like I'm being constrained.
Yeah.
Right? But on the other hand, I really want to be a mother.
Yeah.
And I really want to be a wife. Like to a point where like it actually looks like if I get to a certain age, like if I get to my 60s and I'm successful, all the Oscars, I'm going to fall into pure depression. None of them takes priority over the other.
Yeah.
But which one takes priority?
And obviously because, it's going
to
be...
Do you know what I mean? Because I've been honest with myself enough to be able to observe the marriages around me and realize that there is sacrifice that comes with a woman. The sacrifice that you make versus the sacrifice a man makes
where
your career is involved
career.
Will never be the same. Even if you have the most supportive husband... Yeah. Even if you have the most, it will never be the same. Do you get what I mean? And I think for me, that's something that I'm overthinking a lot. Yeah. So much so that it's making me, you know, the joke that you guys like making of, okay, so when are you getting married?
Yeah.
A year ago, I would have been like, actually, that guy needs to marry me now. You know? Now I'm like,
whoa.
I definitely still want to marry, but... It feels like that's coming a lot quicker than my career is.
Mm.
And I don't know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I don't know, especially because my career is one that is very demanding.
Yeah.
And it's one that
of
can put the relationship on the rocks.
Yeah. Your actress is insane. You guys work crazy, like 12-hour days.
She could go to like Cape Town next month and live in Cape Town
for
3 months.
And
then
I'm a married woman.
And she's married.
What do we do?
Yeah.
So do you get what I mean?
I fully understand what you're saying. Like,
and then I have children. Then I was watching this clip of Tessa Thompson saying that her and Michael B. Jordan, the question the interviewer asked was, how did you guys build such good marital therapy in Creed? And she said that they went to couples therapy, not as Tessa and Michael, as the characters. Can you imagine me sitting in front of my husband and telling my husband I'm going to marital therapy with another actor as characters? Do you get what I mean? So it's just one of those things where it's like, of course, God will never forsake me. God will never give me the dream that's in my heart that already exists, right? For to be a mother, to be a wife, it all exists. But... to record, also to expect that of somebody else's child, to be that understanding and patient enough with me, that you had a vision of marriage means my wife only ever honors me, only I get to touch her arm, only I ever get to see certain emotions from her face, but I have to make peace with the fact that she's on a set and that's not her, as an actor, I already think the world is so crazy. I find beauty in it. Mm. But when that's not the gift that you are given, it's very difficult to understand it the way that I understand it. And I think that's where it's not so much the strong career marriage, it's more so the coming down to my career, the sacrifice that I'm requiring from somebody else to let go of their vision of what they thought
that something would look like
and be understanding of my gift. For you to actually, you have to be ordained to me by God.
Literally.
In order for you to actually understand
the
gift that I carry.
Literally.
And I think that's something that I'm overthinking a lot right now.
That's quite hectic for me.
Yeah.
Like, good luck with that.
it's a very big thing. And everyone in my life is probably going to hear this for the first time. Yeah. Even my boyfriend is going to be like, oh my God. Oh my God, she's right.
Yeah. Because it is quite hectic.
There's an exercise.
I actually have no advice
for you. There's an exercise. I do. There's an exercise, right? Where like, you close your eyes and you picture yourself in 5, 10 years, etc. And you picture your most happiest day, right?
Oh.
And then you literally describe that to yourself. As soon as you're done, write it down. Write it exactly down and just try get to that point.
But what if the happiest day of my life is the day where I'm seeing my husband sitting down, my kids are running around and I'm in the kitchen and I'm happy?
Then maybe that's what you want.
There's an Oscar on the show.
Then that's what you want.
There's a Grammy
there. That's what you want.
I'm not the first to have to do it, so it's possible.
I think, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
I'm not scared. I don't think it's not going to happen. Yeah. I'm coming to terms with the fact
reality
that
of it.
It's not as pretty as it looks when you're 21 and you want to be a Hollywood star and you want to get married and you... It comes with something.
Yeah, it comes with something.
Yeah.
I want to say something, and please ignore this if it doesn't make sense. Mm. But I think you have to come to terms with the fact that your idea of marriage and your idea of your work life will never be that. Like, you're going to be in a crossbreed where family for you is not being able to make scouting for your kids every day. But family for you will be being able to spend an entire Saturday with your kids.
Mm.
Do you get what I'm saying? Like, once you reimagine what family and work looks like together, blended, and then you accept that it won't be the traditional, that's where you might actually find peace.
So it's sort of just sort of, it's almost like allowing God to shuffle the cards he's dealt you.
Yeah. You're good, man.
Those two can coexist every single day.
That's how they exist.
Amen.
Guys, thank you for watching this episode of Seated. We would have loved to continue the conversation, but Leo and I have a thing to get to. Let's all pray this thing goes well, though. That'll be really cool.
That'll be cool.
So crazy. I think based on how we just reacted, we've been disappointed so much in life.
But that's what happens in this industry, isn't it?
Yeah, because what we're going to go do is so like...
Massive. It's probably a pinnacle in our
careers. I'll tell you about it off camera.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's there like,
if it works.
And it's funny because I feel the same way. I'm like, let's just go do this thing.
Yeah.
Let me show up the
but
best way.
But that's literally like me now when Lebo asked me about my audition. That's
I was like, how are they going?
That was the biggest audition I've ever been to in my life. But I was just like, I went and I did it.
She's like, I did a South
Tape.
It
changed
to the morning, man. Looking at you do your commitment changed to the morning.
Yeah. Okay. She was like, I did a South Tape.
I did a South Tape. And
now she's on the podcast and said, I had the greatest audition of my... It was this energy, girl.
Guys, we will see you guys next week, Wednesday. If you guys are new to the channel, please do subscribe. Only 60% of you guys that are watching are subscribed. So the other 40 is not subscribed. So we'd appreciate that. It will help a lot. Also, if you're on the journey of creating content, trying to make your content ready for brand deals, we have a creator kickstart. The link is in the bio. We will see you guys next week. Shoo.